our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are here. Believing, Father, with all our heart that there was a midnight cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him." And having had our lamps, our Bibles, Lord, filled with your Spirit, anointed and litten by the message of the hour, we came out, Lord, and we've seen the great appearing, your appearing, Father, getting us ready for the coming. Help us, Father, to ever stay with the Word, to keep moving on with the Word as the Word comes to pass. For we have so many promises laying at our feet, the promise of being conformed to the image of your firstborn Son, the promise of being adopted into the family, positionally placed in the body of Christ, the promise of a change of the body, a change of the mind. We have all these wonderful promises laying at our feet, Father. Help us, Lord, to stay with your word, to walk in the light as you are walking in that light. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we'll continue with Spoken Words Original Seed. This is number 192 in our series. And I'm going to entitle this Staying with the Word, picking up from something that Brother Branham says here. So if we'd open our Bibles or our spoken word to paragraph 55 where Brother Branham says, "So the sperm of Eve never happened, hybrid to Satan's lie, his lovely bride become polluted. And so is Christ's bride. The bride, what made her become polluted, Abraham's bride now, because she never stayed with the word." That's right. And I ask, now, if it's not so, don't say it. But if it is so, say it. The reason that God, the reason that Adam's bride, now there's a three, Adam, Christ, and God, the reason that Adam's bride never did bear the right life child is because she disbelieved God's word. If that's right, say amen. Congregation replies amen. The reason what Jehovah's wife was put away, or his bride, was because she rejected God's word, the prophet. Is that right? The reason that Christ's bride is put away in divorcement is because that she has rejected the word of God like Eve did, like the rest of them did, exactly. All whores, all polluted. Their husband couldn't get to them. They was already pregnated before their husband could get to them. Oh God, if that ain't a pitiful sight, think of this young man coming to a woman and find her with seed of some other man in her. What a thing. That's what God's done. That's what Adam's done. That's what Christ has done. Oh, yes. Never stayed with the word and caused a hybrid condition. That's what Israel did. See where she's at? That's what Christ's bride did. See where she's at. Right back to the rest of them, Christ's Pentecostal bride did the same. She can't bring forth spiritual word children, for she is a hybrid herself. How can she do it when she's a hybrid herself and the denominations done joined up with them and everything just the same as they are in the council of churches and everything else, just a hybrid as the rest of them are? How can she do it? She can't. Now notice Brother Brown said that she never stayed with the word. All three times when Adam went to take his bride, she was already polluted, couldn't stay with it. When Jehovah himself came to take a bride, she couldn't stay with it. And when Christ came to take a bride, she couldn't stay with it. You see, there's something about walking in the light as he is walking. He doesn't say walk in the light as he was one time in the light. It's not a historical Jesus. It's kind of nice to see everybody's in different places today. I like that. anyway, yeah, you got to keep moving on, see? And but anyway, notice that as you walk in the light, as he is walking in the light, he's in the light. He's moving with the light. We've got to keep moving. You see, we can't just stop and look back and say, well, 40 years ago, God sent a prophet. Hallelujah. What is the promise for this hour right now? What is the promise? What is the promise for you? We know what the promise was for him, Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10. But what about your promise? You see, that's what you have to be focused on. Too many people are trying to be focused on Brother Branham's promise and trying to be a little Brother Branham. That's not what the message is all about. It's being who you are by the grace of God, conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. You see? Now, notice Brother Brown says she never could stay with the word. And I think that's our key here in understanding the two seeds. One cannot leave the word because she's part of that word. And the other cannot stay with the word because they're not part of that word. They're not the word themselves. So for them to change their actions when their minds have changed will only cause them more stress in their life. Now, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 28, it says that the word of the Lord will become unto them, do and do, rule upon rule, rule upon rule, a little here, a little there, until they will go backwards and fall and become broken. Notice, the word becomes, you know, becomes like a law, a legalism to them. And just like the Pharisees, you know, they're so tied up in the law that they miss Christ. Christ, the Messiah, the one that came to deliver them. And they rejected that deliverance because they had the law. You know, who are you? We've got Moses. He said, well, if you had Moses, you'd believe me because he spoke of me. You see? Now we look at the word of God, and the word of God is life. And if the word of God keeps moving on and we stop, what happens? We're separated from the life. If the word is light and the light keeps moving on and we stand still, what happens? We go into darkness. You see? Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Notice verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now what are those gifts? Now that he ascended, what is it that also he descended first in the lower parts of the earth? But he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that's the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. How can you be mature? How can you know your position if you don't have knowledge of the Son of God? You know, if you say, well, the Son of God doesn't exist. You know, he went back to gases. He went back to vapor. You know, the body's gone. Well, the body is ever living to make intercession for our confession. You see? Unto a perfect man, that's a mature man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love. You know, not hard, not breaking your backs, not domineering, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying or the building up of itself in love. In other words, getting the people to the place where they're looking out for each other. They're in love with each other because they're the body of Christ. You know, you step on a nail, what do? Your hands come down and grab your foot. You know, if you're married, your spouse grabs you, helps take off your shoe and tries to, you know, help that foot. You know, well, that's what we're supposed to be doing. If one person is hurting, the others come to help. You see? Now, this I say therefore that and testify in the Lord that ye walk henceforth not as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Having their understanding darkened. Look what happens to them. Having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and ungreediness. Look at the world today. You know, this was a Christian nation at one time. And look at them today. I mean, just look at, you go out in the streets, you see the children. Brother Bram said, I doubt there's going to be another generation the way it's going. Just totally, totally insane, totally perverted. When you walk away from the light, what happens? You go into darkness, you see? And that's the warning Brother Brown gives us today, and that's the warning Isaiah says, that the word of God will become to them, do and do, rule on rule, little here, little there, until they go backward and fall and be broken. All right? Now, we know that the word of God is life. So not to stay with the word means to depart life. The foolish version had oil at one time in their lamp, and that's what we're told in Matthew 25. So if you turn with me to Matthew 25, we're going to look at verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. Now that means that at one time they had oil, and they had light. But they have no more light because they have no more oil. Why? Because they lost their focus in what oil that they had and what light that they had on the Word of God has gone out. And who do you say that had light and it went out? Everyone looked upon the Word of God as their lamp and their light. That's the people that had light. That's the people that had oil. And that includes people who saw the pillar of fire in this hour. Now look, we must look at this word personally. If we don't, we have no light. If we're looking at this word only as, well, Brother Ram, God bless his heart. Look what he did, God bless his heart. And not looking at what's happening right now. Now remember, the midnight cry went out, right? Everybody say amen to that? And did we come out of denomination? Every one of us? Yes, we did. We came out. All right. So what took place then? When they all came out, they all heard the midnight cry, and only those that heard the midnight cry came out. Some went to be with him. Others did not. Why? The oil, the light, had gone out. You see? Now we must look at the word personally, and if we don't, we do not even have light, period. These were virgins that lost their light. Not men, not women who were touched by organization. These were virgins free of man. But what light that they had no more because they lost their focus and they did not keep the lamp trimmed. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now we know the lamp represents the word of God, because David said in Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So these people had the word of God with them. They were not atheists. They were not Buddhists. They were not Taoists. They were not Hindus. They were not Muslims. So that eliminates 80 to 85% of the world's population. Well, let's keep honing away. These were Christians, which make up 15 to 20% of the world's population. But they had their Bibles with them, which eliminates the Catholics, who are taught that the Bible is just a history, not the Word of God. Well, that eliminates another 14.2% of the world's population. So we are narrowing it down quite a bit. We have left about 400 million or so Protestants, but this tells us that they heard the midnight cry and came out, which brings it down to about 2 million people who follow this message. Keeps honing down. They came out when they heard the midnight cry and they believed the message and they came out to meet the bridegroom. There's your message, people. They heard the midnight cry. That's the message. They came out. They were obedient to the message. Now, we know the number 10 represents the end of a cycle, and since this speaks of virgins, we're looking at the end of the cycle of virgins. And notice in verse 2, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. So we have a problem here because some are said to be foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, they had their Bibles, but took no oil with them. So we're told that those who were foolish let the light go out from the Word of God. The message kept them together, but not for the study of the Word. Possibly for other reasons. Social reasons, perhaps family tradition, but not for the Word. But regardless of the reason, their lamps were not trimmed, and the oil had gone out. And when they had gotten out, because they had no light on what the midnight cry was all about, they couldn't recognize the bridegroom when he came. They heard the message and liked the wise virgin. They were obedient to the message and came out to meet the bridegroom. But when they got out, they could not see who it was that was there, because they had no light on the Word. They had no clue as to who was outside, except that they all heard the midnight cry. The message said, come out to meet him, and they all did. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Notice that these called wise virgins had light upon the Word. And then we read in verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Now notice the cry was not that the bridegroom is here, but he's coming. A difference between the appearing and the coming. Someone was there telling us of one who was coming. So this was a message announcing the imminent coming of the bridegroom. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered and said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you, but go you rather to them that sell. You know, people have a real problem with the voice of God, but here it is in Scripture. They sell. Why? Because the Bible said they would be selling. And buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now notice that there's coming a time when all have come out, and that door will be shut, and no more will come out. And that is when the bridegroom actually comes. Then he that is filthy will be filthy still, and he that's righteous will be righteous still. And there will be no more opportunity for change. Now verse 11, afterward came also the wise virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. But he answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Now this word know here was translated from the Greek word, which means to fully know. But also in the context that Jesus is using it, it would suggest that he is saying, I never really had a consummate relationship with you. And therefore, as Dr. Hoyer from Wheaton College, in Illinois, who was at one time considered the greatest U.S. student of Greek, he said, this should be translated, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife any longer. In other words, he never consummated our relationship together, and therefore I really never knew you in a conjugal sense of the word. They were engaged, but it was not consummated. Finally, we hear Jesus speak forth words of warning concerning this parable and what it means in verse 13. He says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And of course, this word watch means to ever be keeping a vigilant eye or a spiritual alertness on the parousia of the Son of Man. So that's what it's all about. The difference between the two, one kept their lamp trimmed, kept it filled with oil, had a vigilant sense of presence. Now, we all believe the parousia of Christ, that he's here. Does our life show? Not just when you're in church together, but when you're at home, when you're in the car, when you're in the secret chamber. Does your life show that you're aware that he's watching everything, hearing everything, even your thoughts are being weighed out? He's the judge. He's the judge. Now, the purpose of this sermon is not to dwell on the 10 virgins, because I've already given a very in-depth sermon on that in the parable series, but what I want to do today is just to show, as Brother Branham said, she couldn't stay with the word. Her lamp had gone out. Her oil had dried up. They heard all, wise and foolish, heard the midnight cry. That's a shout. A cry is a shout. What's that? It's 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Come out to meet him. Come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her plagues. So they listened to that voice. They came out of organization or denomination. But what good did it do them if they couldn't identify him who was there when they came out? Now, to miss the appearing means to miss the rapture. It means to be left out in outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because the word is life. And to miss life leaves only death. And Brother Branham said that the reason the foolish virgin will have to give their own blood is that they did not count the blood of Jesus Christ strong enough for their sins. Now you see, there's a continuing honing down. Honing down. The pyramid begins. There's many down here in the first church age. 3,000 at one time. And then it gets less and less and less up through the ages. And now you've got to the capstone. And you've got a little point at the capstone. And at the bottom of the capstone, there's a honed out edge. And that layer right before it had to have a rim like a neck. Brother Branham said it had to be honed out to match the head. You see, we're to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. But the numbers keep getting less and less and less and less. Brother Branham prayed for millions around the world. Thousands followed the ministry. Today, well, they say there's 2 million. Is there? When they can't even accept the words of the prophet? Can't even accept the doctrine that he taught? only want to take a part of it. They're no better than the Pentecostals that wanted him for the healing. You see? But Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're spirit and they're life. And to reject it must bring forth death. Paul said in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every night and day with tears. But that is not just something that Paul believed would happen. He was not only saying it because he thought it would happen. Jesus also had warned us that these things would happen as well. He said grievous wolves would enter in, not sparing the flock. In Galatians 1, verse 6 to 9, Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ under another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than what has already been preached, let him be cursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, let him be accursed. So what does he mean? They couldn't stay with the word. Well, that's what took place in Paul's day. They began to deviate. Deviate means to move away from. Paul speaks of the curse that is placed upon them who would speak another gospel than the one that had already been given. It would be one of a different nature. And notice that the gospel that they were already beginning to speak, this other gospel, Paul called it a perverted gospel. Because it was a mixed gospel, because the men who came in among them had perverted the true gospel. The word he used, perverted, is Greek word metastepho. And it means to turn around or turn back again. Isn't that what Brother Branham was saying? You couldn't stay with it. So they turned around. You know what Isaiah said? The word of God will become unto them, do and do, rule and rule, little here, little there, until they go, they do what? They go backward, fall, and be taken. So it means to turn around or turn back again. A change of the mind going backwards from what one has come out from. And notice that these men had come out of Judaism and went right back into it. In Galatians 2 and verse 4, we're already told by Paul in his day that they had begun to bring in a deviated message, one that did not hold to the same life as the one already given to them. And he says in verse 4, he says, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty that we have in Christ, that they might also bring us into bondage. Notice that Paul calls them false brethren who came in. And again in Acts 15, verse 4 to 5, we're told, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there arose up certain of the sect of Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now notice that the so-called believers still claim to be Pharisees, yet they were claiming to believe the message for their hour. Now here's the key. The word Paul uses when he said perverted was translated from the Greek word metastrepho, which means to turn around, turn back, a change of the mind, going backwards from what one has come out from. That is exactly what Brother Branham was saying about the church following like Eve, that she could not stay with the word. Now the word stay suggests that the word keeps moving on. But these did not continue to move on with the word of God, so in essence, they turned back. And we know by example that when the children of God left Egypt, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of one thing, and only one thing. When they had left Egypt and had gone only 10 days, they cried out to return to the flesh pots of Egypt. And that's why they had to wander until God basically killed off every one of them. And this so angered God that he caused them to wander in the desert until the next generation came along and that generation died off. Then only those who were 20 years of old or younger at the time of the Exodus were allowed to enter into the land of promise. All the rest died off except one man, Caleb, and of course Joshua, who is a type of the Holy Ghost today. Now Hebrews 6 and 4 tells us, for it is impossible for those who have been once for all enlightened, and the once for all enlightening is it comes in this hour, and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers, that means companions, of the Holy Ghost. How can you be companion if he's not here? Right? So they were made companions of the Holy Ghost, and having tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come. What's that? That millennial man could talk to bees, talk to a bull. It says, if they shall fall away, it's impossible for them to renew themselves unto repentance, seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which bear thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. We see here that the curse comes upon all those who would turn back from the true vindicated word of God, and that all the promises all that's left to them basically is destruction and burning. Now remember, this is a once-for-all word that is spoken of here. That has to be after the opening of the seals, when the entire word comes into full view, which can be no other time than the end time, which is the shout. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2 to 4, Paul says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now the word chaste means, you know, you've had to go through some chastisement. "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve, seduced Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted in the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, why do you bear with it so easily?" Here we find Paul warn us of the casual attitude of the people concerning God's word. Well, let's just get together, you know. Let's have a great time together. Let's have a big social gospel. Let's just, you know, not worry about where we stand. I mean, that's as far as this nation has gone. They've done the same thing in politics. You know, they're so wishy-washy. Nobody stands for any purpose anymore. It's just a pile of, it's just a mess. Like Brother Brown said, they're Laodicea. Rich increase of goods, but think they have need of nothing. You don't know that they're naked and miserable. Well, in 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 to 12, Paul says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and then they perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie, the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." So if they had loved the truth, they would never have opened themselves up for something other than the truth. And Paul told us in Romans, "Let God be true and every man be a lie." Now for the next few minutes, I would like to read to you Brother Brown's thoughts on what it means to go backwards, because to live is to move forward and to progress, but to die is to stop and to go backward. And when the cells stop reproducing, that's when death sets in. From the paradox, Brother Brown said, "Now we find Joshua representing grace or some propitiation, that it could not exist in the same time that the law was in existence. Neither does any message that forwards the people on ever coincide with a past message. So why would people ever look backward?" He said, "Neither does any message that forwards the people on ever coincide with a past message. It will not do it. That's where you have trouble today. Jesus said, does any person take a new piece of garment and put it into an old, or put the new wine into old bottles? They perish. It bursts them open. They can't stand it." Look, the church is falling asleep. The message in general is falling asleep. The people are not looking to an ever-present God in their midst. He said, "Rise and shine, awaken thyself, and Christ shall give thee light." But everywhere you look, people are drifting off, falling asleep. Oh, wasn't it wonderful? God sent a prophet. How many people are even left that were there? Very, very few that were actually attended those meetings or were aware of what was going on in the meeting. Very few. So to the rest, it's become a tradition. It's not a living word. It's a history. God sent a prophet. But let me tell you something. That same pillar of fire is leading us to the millennium. We've got a film showing it. We're walking. He's there. It's a present tense word. Don't fall asleep to this message. Don't fall asleep to your promise. We have a promise of a body change. Just don't, while God is tarrying, just don't slumber. From modern events made clear by prophecy, Brother Brown said, we're not living in a Pentecostal age. We're living in another age. We're living on up here to the bright age, the calling out of the church, and getting it together for the rapture. That's the age we're now living. from, there was a man who can turn on the light. He said, sanctification served its time till it come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost has served its time until the Holy Spirit, which there's only one God, until He blends into the church or the church into Christ. That makes Jesus Christ reflected on the earth what He promised here in the Bible. So if the baptism of the Holy Ghost has served its time, it is only because the baptizer Himself is here. We should be focused on God is here. What an awesome thing to be standing in the presence of the Judge. From the rapture, Brother Ransom, the life that comes up through Luther was what made Wesley. The life that came out of Wesley is what made Pentecost. The life that came out of Pentecost is what made the wheat. But they are a carrier, see? The real life goes through there. The message goes through there, but it's heading up into the wheat. And from the rapture, he said, what if Moses would have come and brought Noah's message? We'll build an ark and float down the Nile. It wouldn't have worked. And neither would Jesus' message have ever worked by Moses, and neither will Wesley's message ever work in Luther, or Luther's message vice versa. And today, we are our last great Reformation was Pentecost, and today we're moving from that. And the Pentecostal message won't mix with this, because it's another day. It's all the Word of God. It is building, like the feet arms coming up. It's forming a bride for the rapture. See, it don't replace them people back there. They live to their message. All of them will come out that was in the bride. But we don't go back to that. From anointed ones at the end time, he said, now notice, these fellows appeared. Oh, you people don't miss this. Well, whenever Brother Branham says, don't miss this, that makes my ears pick up. These imposters, these impersonators, appeared after the true one had went forth first. They come to impersonate. See, they have to. And the Bible said that these guys would come out after that to pervert the original word, vindicate it, and prove to be the truth. So you've got to be expecting that. He's not talking about Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts isn't perverting the message. It's right in the message you're perverting the message. From Anointed Ones at the end time, he said, paragraph 195, notice, come up to the borderline and then they quit. Oh, finally we got to the message. Hallelujah, now we can stop. No, that's when you begin. From Anointed Ones, paragraph 198, he says, going to their home, and when they come up to the place to cross over, they doubted the word. What happened? They perished in the wilderness. They stayed right there and organized themselves, and they died, every one of them. From Anointed Ones at the end time, 214, where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Where the fresh meat is, the word of the season, there the eagles will gather. But after it's become rotten, then the vultures will swarm to it. Why do you think we got 2 million people today? I'm not saying that Brother Branham's message is rotten, but I'm telling you one thing. To focus back 50, 60 years ago is rotten. You've got to focus on what is this message doing for me today? What is in this word that is alive today? That is moving me on today. What is the promise for me right now? Not what was the promise of Malachi 4. That's done and gone past. I hear preachers all, you know, still talking about the revelation of the Son of Man. Listen, the revelation of the Son of Man is God revealing Himself as a prophet. That's 50 years old. It's not the revelation of the Son of Man. The Son of Man has come and gone. We're crossing Jordan. We're getting ready to step in. Moses is off the scene. Joshua, the pillar of fire, is leading us to the millennium. And what is the promise for this hour? What is the promise for this hour? We've already had the shout. What's the next thing? It's the voice. What is that? Resurrection. What does that bring us? Body change. How do we get there? By the renewing of your mind. What does it bring us to? Conforming to the image of the firstborn son. Brings us into a positioning in the body of Christ. That's the adoption to it, the redemption of our bodies. From 2:14, where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. Where the fresh meat is, the word of the season, word for the season, where the eagles will gather. But after it's rotten, then the vultures will swarm to it. See? And what is a vulture? It's a cousin of the eagle. Right? He's a terror of the beak, just like a terror with the bill, just like the eagle is. He just can't fly as high. You see? Pretty ugly, too. All right, that's just my own. Okay. Notice, see what I mean? When a kill's made, here comes the eagle, but after it lays here, there, and rotten, then here comes the vulture. The eagle won't have nothing to do with it. Jesus said, where the carcass is, where the manna fell, the night the manna falls fresh, there the eagles will gather for it. That's the manna for the day, see? Again, from 2:15, notice, but after it gets rotten, maggots get in it, then here comes the vultures. They can't smell it till it gets rotten. 2:19. He said, I am sent me. I am, not I was, nor not I will be, but I am, present tense, the word now, not the word that was or the word that will come, the word that's now. And from Anointed Ones, 1:68, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it come to pass, they're dead, they're gone. Now what scripture is he quoting? Hebrews 6. Conic Donor Doctrine, page 658. If you have been enlightened and then turn away from your enlightenment, it is impossible for that person to ever regain his place again. You see? From 5:10 of Conic Donor Doctrine, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin because they took the very blood that sanctified him and brought him this far to the knowledge of the truth and counted it under his feet after God led him step by step up here to the Holy Ghost. And from Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, Brother Ram said, friends, let us go on to perfection. We're without excuse today. We have no excuse at all. The very God of heaven has appeared in these last days and is doing the very same thing that he did then when he was here before, when he was on earth. He proved, and the things that he done when he was here on earth, manifest in the flesh, and the very same things are taking place today, right here among us. Here's the word of God to vindicate it. Here's the thing to say it right, to make it right. Here's the Spirit of God to do the same thing, so we are without excuse. And from Hebrews chapter 7, Brother Ram said, if you deliberately see the Holy Spirit do the things that it did right here this morning, and see that Christ is risen from the dead, and he's living in his church and among his people, and you will willfully turn it down, it's impossible for you to ever come to God because you've blasphemed the Holy Ghost. So what about the thousands or the millions that have rejected the presence of Christ, the appearing? Well, from question and answers on the Holy Ghost, Brother Ransom, this tabernacle right now stands at Kadesh Barnea. What was Kadesh Barnea? It was a time where they either accept or they reject. From Do God a Service, he said, they're trying to eat the old manna that fell 50 years ago, the Pentecostal church. The Holiness Church is trying to, over 200 years ago, the Lutheran about 300 years ago or more, many hundreds of years ago, they're trying to eat the old manna. Oh, brother, that stuff is stagnated, it's contaminated, it's got wiggle worms in it, it's got maggots, it'll kill you to eat it. From Countdown, Brother Brown said, God in the spiritual achievement is going forward, not going backward. He's going forward, looking into the Word and believing the promise of the things that never has come to pass yet. For the spiritual revelation to manifest the spiritual things that God has promised, he says them come to pass. Just as a scientist in his laboratory are working for different things to help a man to take in creation, the spiritual man is looking forward to something that God promised that has never yet been created. The natural man looks backward. The spiritual man looks forward. That's the way that they got that in the church. The natural church members looks back to what Finney, Sankey, Calvin, that was all right, but that was their day. We're looking forward for something else, a promise that's greater and higher than what God has promised. Science goes back to pick it up. We go forward to the Word of God to find out what God has achieved. Well, what are we looking forward to? A body change, yes. To be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, to have my focus so that I can say my meat, my energy, my life, my whole existence is to do the will of my Father. Isn't that what we have for this hour? From Anointed Ones, he said, teaching a historical God, see, just like they're trying to live in the past. Wesley said so-and-so, and you're refusing the promised word of the day. The manna that's clearly identified of the day, they try to put their old Lutheran, Baptist, Pentecostal wines in new bottles. It won't work. And our new wine in their old bottle won't work. If they try to put this new wine in the denomination, their folly is made known. It's made manifest. They can't do it. It'll blow itself up. From Identified Christ of All Ages, he said, man is always praising God for what he's done, always looking forward to what he will do, but they're ignoring what he's doing. So that's the question I have this morning. Are we ignoring what God is doing? from the world falling apart. He says, and that's the way that they do in Martin Luther, John Wesley, the other men. We're always looking back, see those things, and you make a tradition of their life. You garnish their tombs and their messages for another day. By the time that you wake up, why, that day's done, lived by, and we're in another day. The whole system's worked that way since the beginning. Man-made systems, certainly it has. And from Anointed Ones, paragraph 224, it says, remember, you couldn't feed a Lutheran back in them days. You can now, but you couldn't feed a Lutheran Catholicarian. No, sir. He had to have fresh meat. That was a church age. You couldn't feed Methodist or Lutheran Luther's message. Oh, no, he didn't want that carrion. It's rotten. See? The life had done left it and went into something else. That's the old stock that's dead back there. The life's moving on. Neither can you feed the Bride of Jesus Christ Pentecostalism. No, indeed. Maggot, bloat, organization, nothing doing. No, no. For the promises, and before that great and terrible day shall come, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. He will restore the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. All these promises have been made in the Bible. I will do it, and there the eagles will gather. From the seed is not ever the shuck. He said, just as the hawk has long lost its identification as a hawk, so has the church long lost her identification as a lesser bird, brother of the eagles, God's prophets. Once a carrier of the true word, justification, then it become a carrier of sanctification, then it become a carrier of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, restoration of the gifts. But when it goes on and keeps going back to try to eat something, manna from another day, it's rotten. It's no good. A genuine eagle of this day knows that was all right. But we got to have that plus until Jesus Christ is made manifest in the fullness of his power as he promised to be in the last days. She is now a dry shuck. It's passed. The Spirit of God passed through her. It's true. She will not be heir with a vindicated seed word. She will not be. She'll not be in the rapture. So Brother Ram ties it right back to our being heir. Either we're heir with the word for this day or we're not. You see? That's inheritance. It speaks of adoption. From seed is not anywhere the shuck, he says, relies on some half-rotten man-made theology. Where does he get it? In some man-made Sunday school program sheet, some educator killed for him back in some seminary. Tell him the day's miracles is past. There was no such a thing as baptism of the Holy Ghost. All this nonsense. You mean to tell me an eagle would eat that? He couldn't do it, no sir. Neither will a Christian eat on that dead carrion from old denominational doctrines and things. They want the word of God fresh, the promise of the hour. From the seed is not everywhere the shuck. He said, now he promised us a full square meal, the seven course meal menu, for all the seven seals are opened and everything is ready for the word of God for those who can receive it. Well, apparently there's those who can't receive it because a lot of people say the seventh seal isn't open. He said, for all the seven seals are opened here. All right, from seed is not everywhere the shuck. He said, it's time for the eagles of this day to get to flying higher, dig into God's promise, not live on vulture food that's been killed years off, but get out of it. And Anointed Ones, paragraph 225, said that fulfills Malachi 24:24. He's flying, jumping in the air, flopping his wings, but he just can't get high enough. See, that's right. He just can't do that. He can't reach high enough to get that fresh manna. He can't eat the old manna that's down there on the ground, the dead old rabbits that's been run over a week ago and a month ago or 40 years ago, contamination. He can eat that. And he can just gloat it and squawk and holler and carry on and jump and fly like another eagle. He's anointed like another bird, but he's a type of the eagle a buzzard is. We know that, he sure is, but he can't follow the genuine eagle, see? He just can't do it. No, sir, his body isn't built. He's been eating on different carrion, see? And it won't be the fresh meat, the fresh manna. It'll be something that Luther said or Dr. So-and-so said. It won't be on what Jesus said is for this hour. And again, what is the promise for this hour? It's the manifestation of the sons of God. We've got to come to that place where we manifest as Jesus manifested. And that's in true obedience. From spiritual amnesia, he said, you see your last sign, Pentecost. Don't get mixed up with that, with the promise of Israel after the rapture. That ain't you. You're done then, see? Now's your day. Now's your sign. Now's your time. Don't reject it. Don't do it. So don't be looking. You know, too many people in this message, well, what's going on in Israel? I could care less. That's for the Jews. That's not for you and I. What's happening in Israel doesn't... Look, that's good. Those things are for what happens when we're gone. I'm not interested. I'm not interested, like Brother Vail said, not interested in the politics, what's going on. I'm interested in what is the promise for me in this hour. That's a change of the mind, a change of the body. Conform the image. Adopt it. a shout, a voice, a trump. These are the promises for us. From the token, he said, Israel coming out of Egypt was a type of an anti-type today. Egypt was a church and Israel represented the bride. And as Israel come out of Egypt, so does the bride come out of the church. See, because there has to be something there for it to come out of. And it has to come out of it. So it was a type. The church is down in Egypt, in the world in sin, and does not care a tinker about your token. Okay? Well, we have a token. Brother Ransom, the token is the Holy Ghost. He's here among us. From looking under the unseen, Brother Ransom, we are beyond Pentecost, the same way as Methodist and Lutheran. We're way up to the coming of the Lord, where the ministry that Jesus Christ exercised himself has to be exactly like the headstone on the pyramid, has to be honed till every stone fits perfectly, and the church has got to be in that condition to receive the headstone. So you and I have got to be the same as William Branham was in that effect. We have to have that pattern, which was Christ. As I said overseas, I said, Brother Branham had the testimony that people actually thought he was Jesus Christ. I said, do you have that testimony? Do people look at your life and say, boy, that man is a... he's so much like Christ. It's incredible. You know, the early Christians were called Christians because it means Christ-like. From greater than Solomon, Brother Ransom, but the church is always looking back. That's the history of the church, always looking back. Tradition. From Shalom, he said, now today as we face New Year's, I want to think of not like the past, but I want to look to the future, as Paul said, forgetting those things which are past, I press for the mark of the high calling. See, and as it is expressed, looking back through the mirror of a car, we are looking what we passed when we're looking in the rearview mirror. Now we're not trying to place the message today as looking through a rearview mirror. It would take too long. See, the thing that the Lord has did, and you're all acquainted with the great things that the Lord has been doing, is some of the mightiest things that I've ever seen in my life. He's just passing in the last few months. And now we're thankful for what he's been. You know, let me just stop here just a minute. He gives a really good illustration here. How many have ever tried to drive a car looking through the rearview mirror? Now, you can't do that. You know why? Because you have to know exactly that road, when it takes its turn, when it stops, everything else, if you're looking through the rearview mirror, because you're looking a few hundred feet behind you. You know, you might be able to do it on your driveway. You might, if you've got a long enough driveway. But when you get to the end of the driveway, and you've gone just a little bit too far, and you get hit by the cars coming down the road, then you're doomed. And the church cannot, and we cannot, be looking back. We have to be looking at what is happening. God, what is happening today? Lord, what would you have your people to know that's for them today? Not something 40, 50 years ago. Not something 20 years ago. What is happening today, Lord? You see? From a man that could turn on the light, he said, and why the people could not see that, it seems strange to us now because we're looking back through a rear-view mirror. But did you ever notice if you keep looking back that way, you'll wreck? Let's look at what's ahead of us. From Shalom 43, he said, not looking back, but we're looking forward to the breaking of the new day until there is something great laying ahead of us, where the years has been the joy that we've looked forward to, the pressing, coming to the great light, and now we can see it breaking over the horizon, or horizontal realm. It's breaking between mortal and immortality. And from Shalom 92, he says, we're looking forward, not looking back, looking here, what has been, and we want to know what's going to be, and we're looking for that hour, pressing for it. From greater than Solomon's here, anybody who drives looking through a rearview mirror is going to have a wreck. That's what's the matter with the church today. It's looking through a rearview mirror to what it was. No wonder it's all wrecked up. From God as his own interpreter, he said, and as I was preaching a few weeks ago, living in the glare is a mirage, the sun reflecting itself, and it's false. And any glare of another age is a false reflection. The people are always walking in something that happened years ago. The Lutherans are walking in Lutheran light, or Lutheran glare. Luther's sunlight was fine in his day. Wesley was good in his day. Pentecost was good in his day. But we're going up the ladder. We're living in another age. We're going on. We can't keep looking back. And from Sirs, we would see Jesus. He said, you've always looking back, referring to what somebody else did. When we're commanded to look forward, keep going on. Their prophecy happened in their day. This happened in this day. Next happened in the next day. It's allotted out to the end time. And there's things that are supposed to be going on now, according to the scripture, the Holy Ghost on earth poured out upon the people. So what are those things that are supposed to be going on now? That's why so many are missing it, because they're looking back at 40 years ago, 45 years ago. From Seed Is Not Air with a Shuck, he said the church, depending on his food for education and so forth, a dead diet that died years ago through Luther and Wesley and the Pentecostals and going on, it's looking back for some man-made creed instead of flying up in the heavenlies of the Word where all things are possible. I'll just finish these off. Okay, from God, Rich in Mercy, said if a man comes out with an odd peculiar ministry that's found in the Bible to be the truth, and that man stays right in the same old denominational doctrine, forget it. Nothing to it at all. God don't do things like that. That thing that's rotten manna, that's got termites in it, wiggle worms or whatever you want to call it, for 40 years or 50 years, still trying to eat that old manna on their journey, new manna fell every night. That's right. You couldn't keep it over. And that's exactly. When they were walking through the wilderness for 40 years, new manna fell every night. You see, they didn't hold the manna and say, well, we better hold on to this manna because we're going to eat it a week from now. Uh-uh. They got new stuff every day. From Broken Cisterns, 132, and when God promised that he would vindicate this word in every generation, for the promises unto you and your children, them that's far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, why would you pump on some systematic pump that's been contaminated for years from some old mama? Excuse me, from some old manna. All right, that's a big difference. Maybe that manna was all right, nothing against it, in the days of Martin Luther, in the days of this and that, and the other reformers, nothing about it, but that's manna that fell a long time ago. And when God's provided a place of worship, he said the messenger of the church always comes just at the dying of the other church ages, always. The dying of the Pentecostal brings forth the rapture of the bride. See, the dying of Luther brought forth Wesley. See, the dying of Wesley brought forth Pentecost. The dying of Pentecost brings forth the message now. And from God, hiding in simplicity, said, many missing by the way that he reveals himself. Now, a man is always... has their own ideas of what God ought to do and what is going to do. And as I said many times, the old statement, many times that man still remains man. Man is always giving praise to God for what he will do and looking back to what he's already done, looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he's doing now. Now this morning we read from Galatians 1. Paul rebuked the people for going backwards and perverting the gospel. In Galatians 2, Paul confronted other apostles who seemed to be pillars because they too were caught up into going backwards. And we saw in Galatians 2 where the false brothers came in and kind of polluted up the message. Then in Galatians 3, he says, if the word doesn't do it, it's not going to be done. In Galatians 4, we see that by going back, they lost their blessings. And yet it also, in the book of Galatians chapter 4, Paul speaks of the adoption of sons. So we see that they'll miss the adoption of sons by focusing back. And if we keep focusing on what Brother Branham did 45 years ago and not focusing on what he was showing us to look forward to step into, if we don't step into the message that he brought and keep looking back at the man who brought it, you're going to totally be missing. And I tell you, when the rapture takes place, you're not going to be there. Well, in closing, let's just look at the first Exodus when the children of promise came up to the promise. And let's see what the warning was in their day. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 2, I'm going to read it from the NIV. He said, destroy completely all the high places on the high mountains and on the hills and under every spreading tree where the nations you are dispossessing worship their gods. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burn their Asherah poles in the fire. Cut down their idols of their gods and wipe out their names from these places. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, but you are to seek the place the Lord God will choose from among you, from all your tribes, and put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. There bring your burnt offerings and sacrifice your tithes, your special gifts, what you have vowed to give, and your freewill offering, and the firstborn of your herds. There in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your family shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. You are not to do so as we do here today, every man as he sees fit, since you have not yet reached the resting place and the inheritance the Lord your God is giving you. Be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings anywhere you please. Offer them only at the place the Lord your God will choose in one of your tribes, and there observe everything that I command you. So God is very specific. He says, don't do as the others are doing. Be focused on what I want you to be focused on. Now, just a few more other scripture warnings. In Hebrews 10:26-38, Paul tells us that those who draw back do so to perdition. Notice in 2 Peter 1, chapter 2, verse 1-4, we're told that false teachers will bring in alongside a true doctrine destructive heresies, causing the people to go backwards into Pentecostal mechanics, just like Balaam, and forsaking the vindicated word. And notice he says that in verse 22, he says that in the day of old, he calls it like hogs to a wallow and dogs to their vomit. And vomit, of course, is what? It's food from another day, just brought back up again so they can eat it again. That's what the dogs do. Well, we're commanded not to do that. We see in Hebrews 11:15 that if the people who had thought about the country in which they had left, it would have created an opportunity for them to go back. So we're not supposed to focus on the past. We're supposed to focus on what's coming. And even as I've said in my home, we have a little rule. We don't always obey it. But if anything is over 7 days old, forget it. Don't bring it up again. Too many wives can remember 20 years ago say, "Well, I remember when you did this." Forget it. Just forget it. Move ahead. 7 days old, forget it. It's past. It's done. It's gone. From paragraph 97, anointed ones, Brother Brown said, "But Moses, a true servant of God, commissioned by God, he never fussed with them. Said, here, now you don't do that. You can't. He just let them alone. Just let them go on. They're organizational prophets, but just go ahead." Moses just went right straight with the word. He listened to God. That's an admonition for us. From 138 of anointed ones, Brother Brown said, "Moses didn't fuss. Did Moses fuss at them and say, 'Here, here, you can't do that. I'm the only one who's been ordained to do that. Here, you just stop that right now.' He just let them go on. Let them go on. Remember, the Bible said, as their folly was made manifest, so will these in the last days will be made manifest when the bride is raptured and taken into the sky." And from paragraph 153 of anointed ones, he said, "Why would he let an impersonator rise up and do it and do the same exactly the genuine Spirit of God done?" See, the scripture must be fulfilled. Notice, he did this so that he would harden the hearts of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. To prove that Moses wasn't the only one who had the word, they could do everything just like Moses could do. And why did God let this happen in the last days? So the same thing as lying spirits said to Zedekiah, how are we going to get Ahab out there and make these things come to pass? How are we going to do it? How is he going to get these people trusting in their churches that he predicted that in the Laodicean church age that they would? "Because thou sayest thou art rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." Well, what does the God do? He sends a lying spirit. That's all. From "He cares to you," in closing, he says, "Man is always praising God for what he did, praising God for what he will do, looking forward to what he will do, and then ignoring what he's doing now." See, they fail. And that's the way that they become history after a while. Of the polluted, see, because they fail to recognize now. You can talk of the comfort of Christ, give once, and say what a comfort he will give in the ages to come, but refuse the comfort that he's got here now for you. So where are we at today? Are we focused? Do we recognize? Now look, Paul said, "Who can deliver me, a vindicated prophet of God, from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ who gives me the victory." So don't be focused even on your vessel, but be focused on the promise you have for that vessel, redemption of the body. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you because we have a word that's still alive. Your prophet gave it. We've taken it back to the scripture, the living word of God. And we know that the word that he spoke, he said, the reason why Eve missed it, she didn't stay with the word. The reason why Jehovah's bride missed it, she didn't stay with the word. And the reason why Christ's bride has missed it, they're not staying with the word. So help us, Father, to stay with the word as it comes to pass. For as your prophet said in the anointed ones of the end time, they that do not move on with the word as it comes to pass, they're dead, they're gone. And Father, we know that you interpret your word by manifesting it, by bringing it to pass. So help us, Lord, to be in touch with thee. Help us to have our lamps trimmed and full of oil. Help us to be aware of the promise as it is taking place. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. And help us, Father, never again to be focused on what is taking place or what is way off in the future, but help us to be looking at the word as it is now. What is the next thing for us and that we're looking for? In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace.